This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Ready for this? Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Bimanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, and aggressively asexual co-host, Monica.
Bimanda.
I was trying to think of how I could do, like, Masica. It's like, no, it's not gonna work. Monica's.
I don't know. It's
so it just came out aggressively asexual. I went with it.
That's also kind of not wrong because recently I'm very aggressive and very annoyed. So that kind of fits too. I read the other day, a while ago, dystopian asexual. That was kind of funny, but I think that wasn't the word either.
Now I'm like, what's a dystopian asexual?
I don't know. Because, I mean, chaotic would fit better, but you already took over that for you. So I'm like, I can't use that. So now I'm like, I need something else. And then I read something, but apparently it didn't stick with me very well because now I forgot it again.
I don't think it's dystopian because I googled it and it's definitely not coming up anything there. So
no, it's not. I think it was posted on Instagram or something that I found. It wasn't dystopian. Like, but it had kind of the meaning of when the world kind of ends and everything is No, I don't remember. Fucking hell, I don't remember. Now I'm annoyed.
Well, Monica, if the world was ending and there was only you and one other man or a man on Earth to repopulate the planet, would you still be asexual?
I mean,
is that what they mean by dystopian ace?
No, behavior and sexual behavior and sexual attraction are not the same. So I could, it's not that I have, maybe unlike some asexuals, I have had sex before, you know. and it's not the worst thing that could happen, but it's also like,
meh,
whatever. Yeah. And it's also not judging anybody by their skill of sexual talent or whatever. It was not, again, it was good too.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm actually only asexual when you're bad in bed.
No. Oh God, no. No.
I'm joking.
I know. But yeah, it's not essential in my life. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And attraction and desire to different things. So I just don't really see people and want to hump them. That's what it is.
But you see people and you're like, damn,
they look good. Yeah. I mean, there are different kinds of attraction. There is physical attraction, there is emotional attraction, there is intellectual attraction, there is whatever other attraction, and I do have all of those. Romantic attraction, I do fall in love hard, like, especially, and as a teenager I did too. Like, I was like, all my diaries were full of, oh my God, I love you so much.
Is there anything better and worse than being a teenager in love?
No, yes, I don't know. Better and worse, yes and no. It's something that you kind of don't really get anymore. Well, you don't have it as much, like, not the way you have it when you're a teenager. Mm-mm. But also the pain you experience as a teenager is just too hard. It's too much.
It's, yeah.
But that's just because I am romantic, even though I'm not cheesy romantic as in bring me flowers on Valentine's Day. But I do experience romantic attraction to people. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's just the I see someone and want to bonk them that I don't have.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just like, yeah, but I get it.
But today, and that's kind of the introduction to all of today's episode, is we're talking about... I can't drum roll today.
You can never drum roll. It's not just today.
No, but usually I can push the Stream Deck button and then I can drum roll now, but I can't drum roll now because we're not live today because we're taking a chill and we're recording this offline. Well, not offline, but, you know, not live on
Twitch. We're not live on Twitch. The Twitch.
Yes. So it's kind of like back to the roots.
I know. I said to Tom, I was like, we're recording a podcast at 10. And he was like, oh, on Twitch? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, you're doing it old school. Like, yes, yes, we are doing it very old school.
Very old school. Very 1 year ago. No, 1 year and a bit ago.
Mm-hmm. Hard to believe.
Yeah, hard to believe, actually, yeah. But yeah, we're talking about, did we say it now?
We can say it. Let's say it. We're talking about, okay, pride.
Yay!
And identities. And... whatever else comes up.
Exactly. Whatever else comes up with a rainbow. Because, yeah, it's Pride Month. June is Pride Month. And we can at least can talk about it.
I mean, we have been told, I have been told, I don't know if you've been told, Moni, that our podcast has gotten a lot gayer over the years. And I'm like, yep, that's pretty true. We're pretty gay now. And,
I don't know who told you that. I don't recall anybody telling me that, but assumptions have been made. Because I'm also kind of blaming the pandemic for a lot of this, because there are so many people coming out after the pandemic, because when you're stuck with your own and with yourself and you're not as distracted as you used to be, then you like kind of get into that self-finding process. For me, it was more like getting to know more people and actually hearing about asexuality for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have gotten 36. I need to 35. I don't remember. How old am I? 36. What?
I think yes. You're
36. 36. Yes, I'm 36. I just had to do some math in my head. Yes. To even hear that this even is something that exists and what it is, and I didn't know anything about that before. So for me, that was just you just try to fit the status quo and do what everybody else does, really.
Yeah.
And now not anymore.
Now you figured it out and you've come out, and how's life changed?
Well, how has life changed? I mean, the biggest coming out story is obviously the one that you have to have with when you are in a relationship and something changes around that, then that's the conversation you have to have, right? So that's the one I was like, I can't tell people on the internet what I think, but not tell my boyfriend what I think. That is a bit awkward. Mm. So I tried to get that out of the way before I was like, hello, online world, I think I'm asexual. So I told him. That was an entirely fun situation because, I mean, obviously he's also part of this relationship. So...
I would hope so. It'd be a bit weird if you were in a relationship that you were the only one in and he's like, I'm here against my will.
Yeah. I mean, that would fit every Austrian standard ever. No, I mean, that was a really, really bad joke. I'm sorry. That's not how it is. Yeah, and so I told him and I was like, you know, have you ever... And I was wondering, and I don't even remember anymore what I said. I know I sent you voice messages like this, so you kind of what I told him. But I was like, yeah, and I don't think I have that. Like when you see someone and then you just want to hump them, you know, I don't think I have that, and I never even have that. And his issue always when I went away and met people, like when I met you and all the other people, and I did quite some traveling when we still could. He was like, constantly so worried that I'm gonna sleep with everyone, and I didn't even understand why it was an issue. Like why did he think I would be doing that, and why what is going on? And then I said, you know, and whenever you told me that, I was like, what the fuck is he on about? Why would I do that? Like I have no interest in doing that whatsoever, and why should I be doing that? Not only because I don't want to do that because I know that would hurt you, but also and I was like, this is, and on a lot of other, and by, and on large, like further consideration, I actually never had that. And I think I kind of made my life always in a way where I could avoid that for a very long time, but not intentionally, but because I had this boyfriend when I was 16 and he was in northern Germany and I was in Austria. It was like thousands of kilometers apart. So you could only see them ever so often in a year, especially when you're in school, right? So there was like 4.5 years of long distance relationship there. So that was like, I am just so monogamous. That's why I'm like, doesn't, and but and everything in between, I just had no interest in other people whatsoever. And I blamed it on me being like super monogamous, right? And then I was pining towards my best friend for 3 years, and was, but it was never because I wanted to hump him, but always just because I was so in love once again. But also, once again, nothing else on the side. So I was like, I would always blamed it on how much I love was with, how much I love I was with someone, and not that maybe I just don't ever actually need that, even when I was single. And then, okay, you go, you are in relationships, and then there is obviously maybe the desire for it for a lot of other reasons, because you want to be close to someone, or because you, and that, that gives some kind of closeness too, obviously, because that's what sex also is, but never, or hard off, not really out of a, oh my God, he looks so hot, I want to hump them now kind of situation, if you know what I mean. So all, and yeah, when I told the weirdo, he was just like, and then I said, and he was just like, yeah, yeah. And then he hugged me and then he went away and we never talked about it again.
It's like my favorite coming out story ever. Just like, yeah.
he literally couldn't give less fucks. Also, I think he doesn't quite get what I mean, I said all the words, but I'm not sure he got what I was actually talking about. And that's like a legit identity and all of that. But like, he's fine with how things are going. I'm fine with how things are going. So this is all fine. And it's not the, we're sitting in the fire and the dog and everything burns around us and everything. This is fine, fine. It's just, that's like, works for us in the way it is. And it's totally, so there is no reason that he, like, I'm not going to dump him because of whatever, or, and he's not gonna dump me because I'm asexual now.
Yeah, it's like you two are just sitting in companionable silence eating your ace cake next to each other.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, probably. Is there, I don't know, ace vibes from the weirdo as well, possibly?
Oh yeah, for me, for like, I'm not identifying him if he doesn't. Mm-hmm. But he's oddly, the fact that there is no issue with it whatsoever, it's just a big sign that there is, for me, that I'm like, okay, then maybe, and I said to him, maybe you too. And he just doesn't care, right? It's not on his radar at all. It doesn't need, and that's a lot of, that was also a big reason for me why I was like, why should I even, it doesn't really matter in the, on the long run, does it? Like, we're in this relationship for almost 11 years now. Why should I even, on the outside, it looks like we're like super fucking straight and everything is whatever. And then I'm like, so how does it even change anything when I decide, when I consider being ace, right? And because people will think I'm just really bad in bed, bad in bed, or people will be super judgmental about how much or how little sex is happening, and people will just be like, you just want to be part of the letter congregation and that's not actually something that you are, and you, so all the reasons why people should be, would be like not validating what I just told them, and also there was a pandemic going on, so what does it even matter whether or not I'm ace or not? But the more months that passed by, the more somehow that constantly came up again for me. And like, I put it, I thought about it maybe a few months before, before I even mentioned anything. And then just constantly after reading more about it and like figuring out what it all could mean, I couldn't, it came to a point where I felt like I couldn't not say anything about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And yes, okay, maybe on the long run, it doesn't matter and maybe it doesn't change anything. It doesn't actually change anything as on how I live my life, but I still needed to mention it. And it, in the end, it did change things in a way that I can, because obviously all these things that you go through when you go through puberty and all the stuff and the things that and doing all the sex stuff and doing all the finding yourself out, and you constantly blame yourself for certain things, right? And just mention, just realizing that maybe it's not something that is wrong with me. Maybe that's just something that I am. And maybe I don't need to put myself down for another thing in my life where that's just something that I kind of figured out that's just something that I don't have, and that's fine too. And that just gave me some weird kind of peace in a way. And also, that doesn't mean that I can't innuendo or can't filthy talk with people or can't make sexual, what is it? Jokes or whatever. It's not, jokes wasn't the word that I was looking for.
My goodness, you without any of that, I just don't know. I would be like, who is Monica anymore? Like, where is the filth?
I know. But that is also something where I think, like, my entire family, and you've also been here, like, you don't know my, you didn't know my mother anymore or my other part of the family, but apparently Austria, you decided it has a rumor of being absolutely filth for some reason. So, and my parents, there was a lot of sexual jokes always in our family, right? So it's just something that I grew up with these weird fucking sex jokes or these weird innuendos with people. And so I'm like, that has not necessarily anything to do with my own sexuality, just with what is normal for me in a way. And so I couldn't imagine not making them. But I also now sometimes am like making also jokes about the fact that I'm like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, yeah, you want to sit on a dick? I don't understand. Or something.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I actually kind of get that, because I'm like, I don't really just want to like see something and be like, I want to sit on your dick. You know,
like, I've had other conversations with a couple of gay men, and they were like, yeah, no, yeah, they do have that to a degree, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Do you don't see one, and you're like, oh.
No, actually, I think like 95% of penises are really ugly. I'm like, I don't actually want to see. Like, do I have to?
I mean, do you also think that about, yeah, like
a vagina? You
know? Yes.
We can say those words. We're big girls. We can say them.
Yes, but I also would need to, the word would need to formulate in my brain and then travel its way down and then come out of my mouth. And that's not happening right now, apparently.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I quite like them. But again, I'm not like sit on my face.
Okay.
But I do think that in general, they're more attractive than a penis. Penises are not very nice to look at.
Interesting. Just trying to think if I have any interest. Like, if don't think so. Yeah, there's a long pause that's going to truncate silence out of here anyway. But yeah. Then for people who are listening in the podcast, there was a really long pause here.
Sure was. Monica's like, I don't understand.
And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I just tried to wrap my head around it. It's just so interesting when you go through your life for a certain amount of time. In my case, very long time. And then you realize that what you thought was the standard for everyone actually isn't. And then you don't only question what was standard for you, but you also start to question what is standard for other people, for everyone else, actually. Because I was always, I'm like, people, why? That's not really how, like, there were situations where things were always, like, tended to go into, but that's so, they just want to sleep with each other. And I'm like, maybe they don't. Maybe they really, they just, and I didn't understand why everything had to always be, get that sexual turn to it in the end, because people can just be friends and not because they want to fuck with each other.
I mean, yeah, they can, but then there's also that level of sexual tension. And it's like, oh, just bang and get it over with, guys. Come on.
Yes.
There's definitely two. There's like the friendship and then there's the sexual tension.
Yes. No, and that is something that where it eludes me, right? Where I'm like, what? What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and also the reason why I'm like, I always felt like I had zero sexual charisma, right? Like there is nothing sexual about me. But I always thought that was because that's just how it is, right? And that's just a fault of mine in some way. But I think that they are also connected.
Hmm.
For me at least. And that doesn't mean that other aces cannot be sexual or be perceived as sexual. But I don't think that that is the case for me. Mm. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I really get that. Like I can understand how, like, looking at yourself and being like, I don't feel like a sexual being. I guess in a way, like I can definitely understand how that is something, because like when I look in the mirror, sometimes I do feel that. But then there's other times and I'm like, damn, look at my ass. I'd tap that. I mean, like 2 nights ago, I was checking my ass out and I was like, girl, that's a nice ass. And, you know?
I cannot relate. What?
Like, it's a thing that occasionally happens to me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine because, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be, I suppose. I mean, not supposed to, but that's how some people...
There's no supposed, is there? Yeah.
That there's some people who do have that and other people who don't have that. And you can also be asexual and do probably experience and give, whatever. I don't know. I haven't thought enough about this.
Yeah, there's so many facets and elements of sexuality and asexuality and gender and fluidity, and like because I think more than anything it is fluid and things that fluctuate and change, and your perception of yourself and your perception of others can change over time as well. Like, nothing is set in stone.
Yeah for sure. Yeah,
and that's the cool thing about human beings. Like,
and I think that's what pride also is a bit all about, right? It's that acknowledging that nothing is set in stone and everything can fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
And the acceptance of that as well.
Yeah.
Because I get to a point where I'm like, how is anybody actually that straight? Like, is there... But then maybe that's really how it is, right? Some people are just not attracted or don't experience romantic attraction to whomever.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's just really funny. I mean, for me growing up, like, I actually knew very few straight people. Like there were people that said they were straight but would make out with girls on the weekend, and I'm straight.
Make out with girls on the weekend,
you know, like, you know, not necessarily that, but like not every weekend, but like kissing a girl was like a thing and it happened, and I'm like, yeah, you're straight, okay. So yeah, like actually there's just such a spectrum of, I genuinely kind of think everyone's a little gay, at least a little, but also not, because then we have people like Tom, and I think that this is actually fantastic, because another thing that I've been told quite a few times about our lovely podcast, Geek Caring, is that it makes you gay. I'm like, what? But, I mean, I can kind of see the point that is made, because there's been quite a few people after, like, hanging out with the Geek Caring community for a little while who have been like, I'm not straight. In varying degrees of whatever that looks like for them. And I was telling Tom this a few weeks ago or a month or whenever it was, and I was like, yeah, like people say like Geek Caring makes you gay, and I'm like, maybe it should be our tagline, Geek Caring makes you gay. And he was like, yeah, you know, I it's been a year of self-discovery for so many people, and you talk like really openly about like gay stuff now. Not his words, that's totally my words. And he's like, but I have never, like, I'm just even more confirmed that I'm straight. Like, I have no attraction to, like other genders. And I was like, that's pretty cool. That, like, it did make you kind of question, but you came to the conclusion that super straight. Not the super straight.
Not the bad kind, yeah, of super just straight. Straight.
And like, I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. Like, even the possibility of like kind of thinking about it and coming to the conclusion that, yeah, I am straight.
Yeah. I mean, not there is anything wrong with that at all.
No.
It's really, it's just self-discovery, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. I'm just once again sucked in my brain. Sucked in my brain? What? I'm once again zoning off thinking about general romantic attraction and that it could hit anyone. So how have you celebrated Pride until now? Or have you at all?
I definitely have, especially when I was back in Canada, because it was more of a thing. I had more gay friends that I would go to Pride with, as opposed to here, like in Northern Ireland, where I actually don't really know many other queer folks. So, like actually going to Pride parades was always a thing. I don't know, I was probably 16 when I went to my first one, and
nice.
I was straight then. Straight.
Right.
Air quotes.
Officially. I mean, officially you were straight.
Super straight. But again, not super straight. Oh yeah, but I was straight and I kiss girls on the weekends. It's fine. So yeah, like as the years progressed, like it was just a party. We marched. Actually, I never marched. But I know people that were in the parades and it was a good time. Did I ever tell you the story about not Pride Week, but National Coming Out Day at my university?
No.
Okay, so I was in our campus's gay club. I was the social and events coordinator, and we set about chalking the campus for National Coming Out Week. So like we were drawing rainbows and writing stats and stuff, and there was a statistic at the time that 1 out of 8 people were gay. So I was going around like doing the fraction 1/8 equals gay. and there was one that I chalked in a spot that didn't get any rain at all. And it was there for like 7 months. And then our school's newspaper decided to tell, like to run a story that in other news, I actually can't remember. What were we called? The Rainbow Society or something? It doesn't matter. Have let us know that fractions are gay.
I mean.
And I was like, it's so funny because it's me. That was my stuff. Like, I just thought it was so funny that, like, I was all about the gay fractions and I didn't even mean to. It's not about Pride, but it's just a little funny thing that happened.
Aww.
Yeah. Toronto Pride Parade is a good time. Well, it was. I haven't been to it for a very long time.
That's interesting. I clearly have never been to one. But also, I live in bumfuck nowhere hillbilly town. There is nothing going on here that is, like, remotely anything, like, towards Pride. And I never went out in big city. Generally, I was not the person to ever go out much, number one. That's number one. And also I didn't have any queer friends whatsoever until the internet came along.
That's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful place. And so obviously I didn't have anyone I could go there with, and also wasn't on my radar at all. Which is kind of sad, actually. And I don't know, I think there must be one in Graz, but I've never went. And then probably dead in Vienna there for sure some, because it's also where the life ball is and everything for the I forgot his name already, but for AIDS awareness and everything. So there's always the life ball, and they also like kind of have like high super famous people there, celebrities. And yeah, I do think that they also air it like around the world or something. Oh, wow. I don't remember. So it's pretty big, but that's also never something that I went to, clearly, because I'm also not going out in the dress up and everything, and I'm like, that's the least kind of thing that I'm gonna do in my life ever. Sure. So that is also a big party through Vienna with like a show and everything, and I watched it on TV a couple of times. It's like really cool, like they have like really really good shows, and it's just for also to raise money for AIDS prevention and all of that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, but I've never been to one.
I have been to the Pride here in Belfast a couple times. But I'm going to be totally honest. I don't keep track of Belfast events because I don't know why. I just can't for the life of me seem to keep track of anything that's going on in Belfast at all. So I think I've been twice and both times were an accident. I've kind of been like walking into Belfast and like, it's oh, Pride! It's Pride!
That's really epic.
And I'm like, okay, one time, sure, like when I was newly over, newly like in a relationship with Tom and we're up in Belfast and I was like, oh my God, it's Pride. Like, this is so cool. But for it to happen twice, like I just went to the city for a day out and I'm like, it's fucking Pride again.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. We also had a Pride prom back when I was in university, which was really cool because, like, nice. I think a lot of queer people don't have a high school prom or they don't go to their high school proms because of various reasons. They don't feel comfortable. They don't have a date. They don't, you know, they're not welcome. Is also a big thing if you're in, you know, a lot of American high schools and even some Canadian ones and also high schools around the world. But I don't know that where all prom happens. So, like, it, you know, I think having those queer proms and gay proms like are really important to give, like to kind of have that dress up and go out with your friends and your dates and like get all fancy and have prom kings and queens and you know, just appreciate it and enjoy it for, you know, what it should have been, could have been, had you been allowed, insert whatever reason you didn't go to high school prom.
I mean, that's always a something in every teenage show, isn't it? So either there's an entire show about your own prom and the queer prom, or there is the actual prom where queer people are not so loud and then they make their own prom. Like, I don't know how often I've seen that already in like any teenage growing up series ever. I mean, not the latest ones, because obviously like sex education is so far ahead, well, not ahead of its time, but sex education is the thing that people should be watching instead of going to biology class and getting sex educated there, right?
Honestly.
Like, that's really all you need in your life. And that would be something that I would have wanted in my life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think shows like Sex Education are doing so much for awareness and well, I mean, education, yeah, about sex, but also awareness about sexuality and gender. You know, that so many people just don't know because it's not talked about where they are, or it's not a thing, or like you just literally don't know anyone.
I mean, I'm not sure if that's still the case nowadays, because when was that? I just recently got rid of a box of stuff, of older things that I had, and I brought them home when I moved here, so there was they had things of it in it, like old children's books of mine, right, and kindergarten pictures and shit like that, and there were questionable things going on then, right? And you sit here now and you think like, oh God, this is my childhood, no wonder. And that is not so long ago, but obviously that's now 30 something years ago. So there is a lot that happened in these 13 years. And since we were teenagers, it's also like 20, like 15 to 20 years now. So I do hope that by people obviously being queerer on TV, being queerer on and more out and more open, and people coming out and celebrities coming out and so many people, and having Queer Eye on TV, having Sex Education on Netflix, like it's so easily accessible as well. And you don't have that. I mean, you still have that too, but not as much, and it's more that this is the only representation that you have, this one white gay man in a teen show, like in Dawson's Creek, for example. So it's not that token gay person in a show, but there are more and different variations of queerness all over pop culture. And I do think that kind of also leads to people realizing that earlier, like noticing stuff earlier and coming out earlier, and it being less of a, not burden, but less of a can't do that because it's dangerous situation. And I hope, because there is more out there, that it becomes easier for every baby queer basically to come out as what who they truly are.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually reading a thread on Twitter today, and it was from, it started with some somebody in Gen Z, saying, like, how do people go so long without coming out or without realizing that they're gay or asexual or something not hetero in some way. And like, I think that that's really, I love that for what it is. Like, I think that the way that they approach it, like, they don't have the experience of having to be in the closet, like, because they, like, the queer community, like, we lost an entire generation of people with the AIDS crisis and like with violence, like queer violence, like we lost so many people to look up to, all like the queer elders, one would say, like, we lost so many people, like governments and society was like, yeah, we don't really care that all these gay people are dying because it's an abomination, so yeah, no problem, off it goes, you know, like. So it was such a thing, like, it wasn't okay, it wasn't allowed, it was not talked about, it was, like, literally a death sentence to come out as queer. So many people didn't. And I understand not coming out because, like, it could be dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. Or, and also, like, you don't have the role models to know, like, asexuality. Like, you didn't know until you were 36. Like, it's just, it's a very real, very lived experience for people that aren't in Gen Z. Sorry, it just feels really wrong to say Gen Z as a Canadian. So gotta say it both ways. And I am so happy that that generation, that this new generation, doesn't have the same stigma towards sexuality and gender that ours did, because it is bringing, like, they have millennials, whatever, however we're going to call us millennials, and there are, like, a few elder gays still kicking around, you know, that have lived through all of this, that, like, are being those role models for this new generation, and they're seeing the representation. Our media is now more representative, and yes, there is still homophobia and transphobia and biphobia and all of the phobias and people being assholes, and it is not always safe to be a queer person in this world, but it is so much better than it was, and Gen Z is going to change the fucking world.
So many things, especially when they're structural, right? It just takes so much longer than we would all like. And that's kind of the issue. It seems like there is, on the one hand, there has already been quite something happening, but it's just not fast enough. But as a person, as an individual, it always seems not fast enough. But structural change is just so much more difficult because there's so much more attached to it as well. So it just needs a lot of work to break down all these structural barriers in every, like, everything we talk about. Racism, structural racism and the patriarchy and all of that, right? Like, it's just so ingrained in so many cultures too, especially because it was law, right? It was law in so many countries, and it still is law in so many countries. So it's hard to, and people start to bring laws like that back into legislation as well, right? So it's just, it's always a constant kind of fight, but we're getting there. It's getting better with every person who speaks out for queer rights, and that's also the reason why Pride is around in the first place, because nobody needs straight Pride. When people ask, why is there no straight Pride? Because you live your entire life without any fucking issues whatsoever. That doesn't mean that you can't suffer on a personal level, but not because your identity is not one of the things that is causing you problems or, like, not allowing you to live your life the way you want to live your life. So and that's the reason why there is, and yes, it should be Pride 365 days a fucking year. And at some point there will be Pride 365 days a fucking year. But now we're celebrating what is going on and how far, to some degree, the community has come already. And for every person who kind of figured themselves out already or is still figuring themselves out, and it doesn't matter whether you're out or not, you're still part of it all.
Exactly. And also, it doesn't matter how old you are when you come out, if you decide to come out. It doesn't matter how old you are when you realize your identity is maybe different than what you thought growing up. Like, you're not too old ever to get in touch with yourself and figure it out, whether you tell anybody else or not. You are valid, and that's I think it's just really nice to hear that every once in a while. Like, you are valid. You're not too old.
There's no such thing as too old anyway.
But yeah, just speaking really quickly on like it still being illegal in so many parts of the world, like Northern Ireland only legalized same-sex marriage in January 2020, a year and a half ago, you know, and that's not a long time ago.
Was there no other way? Like, we had this weird fucking thing of a registered partnership that wasn't equal to a proper wedding, marriage situation.
I'm not 100% sure how it worked. I think there might have been civil partnerships. But yeah, it was only like same-sex marriage was only legalized last year. Like, it was illegal to have a same-sex wedding. And I'm just like,
love each other. I don't understand. Like, that's something I just can't wrap my head around. Why do people consider that who someone loves a problem at all? Like, I could never, and I don't know if I can, I don't know what the, and I suppose there is a lot of fear mongering attached to that in the and all the, I don't know how it's connected, how being gay is connected to having like mental health issues or being sick or whatever, and it's a disease and all of that. But in the end, somebody is loving someone, is loving whoever they are loving, right? And so, like, how can this be a problem to anyone? How can people wanting to get legally married threaten every other marriage that is out there already? Like, what? I don't understand what the problem there is, right?
Honestly, the world needs a lot more love and a lot less hate. Like, I don't know the problem. I've never known the problem. Celebrate like differences and just we could all stand to just love a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's that.
That's that. There's really nothing one can say to that anymore, honestly.
Samani, I am delighted to share Pride with you this year and every year to come. Happy first Pride. It's always fun celebrating your first one when you're out. Even though
I mean, during a pandemic when you don't really go anywhere, but it's like, yeah,
you know,
I'm posting a couple of flags here and there, and I'm like, hey, look, might be. I mean, it still does feel like a proper, like, I know I would tell everybody else that they're idiots when they say, but I don't feel like I'm valid enough, blah blah blah, because obviously you count, and I know that, in like logically, I know that, but when you've been living in straight relationships for all your life, and then you're kind of like, yeah, also I'm part of the rainbow now, it just feels very awkward. So, and I'm trying to do that with caution and not being all like, this is my pride now. And the Cody, so the ace dad advice, Cody also said that it's just important to, yes, you're part of the rainbow, but it's also important to acknowledge what privilege you have when you are in straight presenting relationships. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that I can totally understand. And that's also kind of the reason where I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be all like, woo. But I'm definitely also I'm woo for everyone else. That's what I'm trying to say. But I'm like, hello, I'm sitting here in my corner with my little small tiny flag and everything is great.
Yeah, you can be woo for everyone else, but you can also be woo for yourself.
Yeah. I think that will also get a bit better over time.
It will.
But yeah. Yeah. Happy how, I don't know how many pride this is for you, but happy how many is umpteenth pride for you too?
17?
17. Look at you go.
Maybe. Around that.
So happy 17th pride to you too, Amanda.
Thank you.
And maybe after all this shit is over, maybe there will one day be a pride where we can actually go to.
I would love that.
That would be cool.
Yes, we can.
Because I've never seen one. I feel I need to see it at least once in my life.
You do, definitely. And we can bring everyone that has come out because of Geek Herring with us. The Geek Herring gays.
Cool. Do we need a t-shirt for that as well?
Yes. Yes, you do. Yeah. Geek Herring cool. Gays. Geek Herring made me gay. Soon to be in the
merch store.
Geek Herring made me gay. Would you wear it?
Sure. Cool.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Happy Pride to you as well. And we will see you next week for another amazing episode of Geek Caring. And it is amazing.
As per usual.
Bye. Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.